This episode is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Go to homefieldapparel.com. Use the promo code GOVALS for 15% off your first purchase. I love my Home Field Apparel shirts. This orange smoky. I've gotten a lot of compliments on it. And then the ladies will be like, hey, let me touch that. It's soft. It feels great. The Vol Navy shirt. I've seen the making it rounds on the internet. People love the Vol Navy shirt. Go to homefieldapparel.com. Use the promo code GOVALS, one word, for 15% off your first purchase. Homefield digs through the archives and history of your school to find unique logos, mascots, and moments to make thoughtful designs for your school. All the shirts are top-notch, premium fabric. Again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code GOVALS, one word, for 15% off your first purchase. Let's get to the episode.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass. He can't do math. He's an idiot. He gets his hair cut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch coming at you Wednesday, August 11th. Reminder, during the season, we're going to try to record every Wednesday. Seth Hughes joins me down in Alabama. What's up, Seth?
Not much, John. Happy to be here. Good to hear your voice as usual.
It does cheer me up. It does cheer me up hearing your voice all these years later. How long has it been? Are we getting close to that 7-year itch? I mean, I know we haven't done the podcast for 7 years, but...
Yeah, about 7 years, yeah.
I guess 2013 is when we met, so we talked a little bit before then, so, but we'll...
I feel like I started calling in to you and Kyle.
Yeah, that was 2015.
I love Kyle.
We took a lot of 2014 off, so we're getting close to 7 years, so hopefully we don't get that 7-year itch. Hopefully we stay together and stay happy.
Just hearing your voice makes me happy, buddy.
Love to see it.
But I always choose joy.
How are you feeling today on August 11th? We got a couple of Tennessee news and notes. I guess we'll start with Alvin Kamara getting on the Jumbotron replacing Jason Witten.
He is?
Am I breaking this news to you? Yes.
No, I saw that. Good for him. I mean, I guess Jason Witten probably isn't remembered by people that are... Well, I guess high school recruits, a tight end that played 20 years ago probably doesn't mean as much as a running back that played 5 years ago. So, I understand why Heupel would want that. Because... Alvin is the most, you know, arguably the most dynamic running back in the NFL. So it makes sense. Who else is up there with them? Al Wilson and the general. It does seem weird Peyton's not up there. But I guess everyone already knows Peyton Manning played at UT. So.
Yeah, I guess it is weird. I mean, it was weird when they did Witten instead of Peyton. I thought at the time they went with Witten because... He still had Tennessee, still had NFL ties. You know, was just in the league, ended up going back to the league. We didn't really have anybody performing in the league at that time.
I get it. I mean, I get it from a recruiting perspective, which I assume is what is driving this.
That too, but I wonder if that will be a rotating spot that's just for, like, who's good in the NFL. So, say...
And that makes sense, too. They should probably do... That makes sense. I kind of hope they do that.
So say if Marquez Callaway balls out or Josh Palmer, both of those guys getting good reviews, like 3 years from now, if they're really good receivers, maybe they get put up there instead.
I kind of hope they do that. That would be cool, I think.
That way you pitch it to your potential recruits, like, hey, we celebrate you here. If you're even at the next level, you're evolved for life. We are going to, you know, yell about your successes. I don't know. That's one of the things that went in my head. The report was that they wanted some, like, to have someone in the NFL be that spot. I don't know if that means going forward or just now for Kamara, because they are using him, you know, kind of as the face of the program recruiting wise. I don't know if you remember the, like, the orange and white game, but he was there taking pictures and stuff.
Well, there's really nobody else to use.
No, I mean, not really. Like I said, Callaway and Palmer should be in the NFL for the next couple of years. You got Mosley and Coleman. You're not going to put Juwan James up there.
Shy Tuttle's pretty good.
Shy Tuttle, I mean, he's fine. I mean, he's about like Mosley and Coleman. Probably lower than them, honestly, but he's fine.
Who is Coleman? Oh,
Justin Coleman.
The defensive back. He's still in the league.
I mean, he got that big contract from Detroit. I want to say they cut him, but I think he got signed by someone else. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's still in the league. He had one really, really good year, and then he had a bad year. But I assume he's still in the league. It says he plays for the Dolphins. All right, that's good for him. That's a pretty good secondary. So, yeah, I mean, he can just kind of go back to not being the best cornerback and just kind of...
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good spot for him.
So, yeah, Emmanuel Mosley, no surprise. He's still in the league after his storied career in Orange.
Well, I mean, I think we're about to have a couple other instances there, too. Now, not so much because they sucked, but, like, if you're in a fantasy league with me, stop listening, but everything coming out of New Orleans is talking about how Callaway looks awesome and, like, how Winston and Taysom Hill both just feed him the ball nonstop.
Didn't Callaway kind of flash last year?
No, he did a little bit, but, like, I don't think he had the career we thought. Or I think he's going to have a better pro career than he had in college, basically.
No, I mean, like, he showed some flashes. Like, didn't they have him returning punts or kicks,
too? Well, yeah, but he still went undrafted, though.
Yeah. But I just remember him, like, playing more last year than I thought. He got some starts, I believe.
Oh, you mean with the Saints. Sorry. Yeah, he kind of got forced in there due to injuries. But, yeah, he played some games.
Good for Marquez.
Now, I don't know what his actual stats were. He was returning some punts, though, but... Like I said, I think that, and I think Josh Palmer is going to be good in Los Angeles. Sorry, Zach, the only Chargers fan I know. So maybe we'll get some new talent in there. But from a recruiting standpoint, like we're talking about, it would be nice to sell the kids, I guess, on like, look, you like Kamara, he's cool, but also we're going to celebrate you here if you get to the next level. Callaway with 21 catches for 213 yards last year, so not a lot, but at least got some playing time. That's a lot for a guy that, you know, was... Well, undrafted and didn't know if you're going to make a roster, so that's good for him.
Yep. Good for Mark Wills. Always played hard at UT.
All right, so that's the biggest story of the day, I guess. Second biggest story of the day, 18 out. Brian Maurer looks like he's out of here.
I mean, I don't mean this in a bad way, but, like, it feels extremely overdue. This should have happened a long time ago.
I mean, we've been thinking about this since what? I mean, like, when did the rumors of him transferring to LSU pop up? 2 years ago?
I feel like after when he started some for Garantano that first year, like the Georgia game or whatever, I feel like after, like, that season is when, like, the rumors first started.
I remember everyone freaking out that he might go to LSU, and I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Sure, they're going to take this guy.
Yeah, so, I mean... But I wish Brian the best. He seems to have some demons, so.
Yeah, don't want to casket shit. Don't want to do anything like that. Like, don't mean anything personal by it. I hope he finds happiness somewhere in his life. It does, like you said, seem like he made the decision to transfer a year and a half ago and has just kind of been going back and forth waffling on it forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it just seems like it was long overdue to me.
I do think it's funny that he posted on Instagram the caption about, you know, them taking his dreams and how he was out and then immediately deleted it, but still wanted to get the likes and interactions, so he posted a picture just with the soldier on it. He still wanted to pose in the uniform one more time and then didn't show up to practice the next day. I thought that was kind of fitting. The fitting end for his career, I guess. The roller coaster ride of social media with him.
I guess the question is, do we have another quarterback leave?
I mean, you can do. You knew you weren't going to keep four.
Yeah, I knew you weren't going to keep four.
You kind of knew he was the odd man out. Although I will say it. You know, when Heupel first got here, some people were worried that he might be the starter just because, you know, he had got recruited to Central Florida, was from that area.
Yeah, I think he would have left in the offseason if the hire wasn't Heupel. Like, if Pruitt stayed another year, I imagine he leaves.
That's probably fair.
But he had their rapport with Heupel, you know, or whatever, going back to high school. I mean, it's hard to see, like, if Harrison Bailey's the third man the whole year. I mean, he's going to transfer in December or whatever.
I wouldn't be surprised if Harrison Bailey loses the quarterback job. I wouldn't be surprised if he transferred.
Yeah, I would think he would transfer for sure.
No, I mean, like, before the season.
He might.
You said December, I think, right? I wouldn't be surprised if he...
Yeah, that was like the last case. Like, that's what I meant. Like, I think by then, he will have transferred. Like, I don't know if he'll transfer in the middle of the season or what. I mean, nothing is to be gained by transferring in the middle of the season.
If I'm him, I'm getting out of there the moment, like, they tell me I'm not starting.
Yeah.
And who knows? The reports from practice this week so far have been that basically Hooker and Milton running away with it, or at least distancing themselves a lot from the incumbent Tennessee quarterbacks.
Yes, it seems like it's a two-man battle. And I just have a hard time believing Hendon Hooker is going to be starting quarterback. Maybe he is. Maybe I'm wrong. I just think it'll be Joe Milton.
And that's fine, but I think Bailey will be third string in that case. And if you're him, like, you don't subject yourself to that.
Yeah, he'll transfer eventually before Christmas. So then you're left with two, and then you have the senior committed, so I bet they try to take another one in the transfer portal. Which, like, you're not going to be able to get anybody worth a damn at all, because you're going to have a guy, you're going to have a starting quarterback for the whole year, and, like, why is anybody going to want to transfer here? Unless that starter is just absolute unless she's absolutely terrible. But they're not going to want to go into the season, or the offseason, you know, with just three guys or whatever, I imagine.
I want to ask, again, I don't want to do, like, too much casket shitting. So if this question is too much casket shitting, my bad. But as Brian Maurer, 18, is out, I pose the question, is he the worst Tennessee quarterback of the last 20 years that's started a game?
But it just depends on what your metric is for saying, for, like, their quality. I mean, like, Nathan Peterman played in the NFL. Nathan Peterman at Florida is like the worst quarterback I've ever seen.
Sure.
In a UT jersey.
Now, I will say, I think Garantano against Kentucky last year gave him a run for his money.
Yeah.
As I will say that I think that Brian Maurer, when this came in against Arkansas last year, gave him a run for his money. But yes, Nathan Peterman with the worst starting performance probably ever. But went to Pittsburgh, beat Clemson, got drafted. Going to get his damn pension now. He's been in the NFL for like 3 or 4 years, so he's going to be fine. Jonathan Crompton. I mean, Crompton's better than Maurer.
Crompton, up until the Auburn game, was absolutely horrific. The UCLA game, horrible. Absolutely horrible. Both UCLA games, he was absolutely atrocious. I mean, that Fulmers last year, Crompton was so bad. And I remember how much people hated him. And then the Auburn game, really at halftime of the Auburn game is when it started changing under Kiffin. And then they ended up beating Georgia. But, like, up until that point, Crompton was, he was right there with those other guys that we've mentioned. I mean, he was horrible. He was horrible. Nick Stevens was also terrible. Not as bad as Crompton was, because he didn't get enough playing time to prove it. Will McBride might have been up there with, I mean, we just don't know enough.
All right, so he started one game, the Missouri game, transferred to Lamar. I don't know if he's been playing there or not. And I don't really, I guess to be fair, we just have to say while at Tennessee. So
yeah, so while at Tennessee, the answer is Peterman
okay.
For me.
Okay.
And it's not like even.
That's fair.
Whatever, it might have been Dante, he plays for the Rams now, but he played for the Jaguars.
Fowler.
Dante Fowler. I believe it was him. When they had a still shot of that game in the swamp, and Fowler was running down. It might have been somebody else, but I won't think it was Fowler. Coming at Peterman full speed, and they had zoomed in on Peterman's eyes, and Peterman looked scared to death, absolutely horrified out of his mind. Like, I just think about that. Like, that game at Swamp, Peterman is the worst. Like, yeah, Maurer sucked at Arkansas. The whole damn team sucked. Like, I mean, I say Peterman.
Okay, I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
Dormady was also horrific at Florida. Dormady was also horrific at Florida.
Sure, sure. I'm not talking about just strictly performances. I'm just talking about in general. But yeah, Dormady probably barely outranks Maurer for me, but probably close.
Yeah, I say Dormady is above Maurer.
Barely,
too.
Though.
I have Nathan Peterman.
So maybe Peterman, McBride, then Maurer, maybe? CJ Lake was pretty terrible, too, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, CJ Lake was horrible. I mean, like, he was so bad that they couldn't justify starting him, even though it meant they got Chris Lee.
Right.
That's how bad he was. Like, all they had to do was play him, and they got Chris Lake, and it didn't matter. Like, it simply didn't matter.
You forget that Nick Stevens started 6 games at Tennessee.
He started a lot that year.
6 games.
They finally benched Crompton. When Former finally benched Crompton. And that's back when everyone, all people did was clamor for B.J. Coleman.
Who got drafted by the Green Bay Packers, by the way.
Yep.
So at least he made it to the league.
He made it to the league.
He ended up transferring to UTC, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, goodbye, Brian Maurer. We will always have that throw against Georgia. And the time you got flipped up inside your head.
Nathan Peterman was 4 of 11 for 5 yards and 2 interceptions.
Two interceptions seems low. Do you have a fumble in there, too? I thought he turned the ball over 3 times, but maybe not.
He might have, but he was 4 of 11 for 5 yards and 2 picks.
Do you remember in that game how it started out? Like, we turned Florida, like, dropped the punt. Florida dropped the punt to start the game. As they were trying to punt it to us, we got to start the ball. We got to start with the ball on Florida's 15-yard line, and on 2nd and 8, we fumbled. Dante Fowler stripped Rajon Neal and recovered the fumble. So I don't know if that was Rajon fumbling or Peterman fumbling, but they dropped the handoff. Then we got the pick 6, and then we went fumble, interception, punt, punt, interception, end of half. That's how we finished the half.
Do you remember, like, I guess it was 2012. It was 2012 when they fumbled at the goal line and all McCullers had to do is fall on it.
It was right in front of me.
And we would have had the ball on the 1-yard line. If McCullers had just picked it up and fell, it would have been a touchdown. And we don't pick up the ball. We somehow do not land on the ball.
Oh, no, I remember, buddy. It was right in front of me. I was right there in that end zone.
There's so Florida, like, Florida would just sit there just with their dick in their hands for forever against UT, and it wouldn't matter because we were just scared to death. Or I don't know. It's just so many games that Tennessee just.
I mean, we missed that extra point, right? We could have gone up 21-13, right? And instead we missed extra point. It's 20-13, and then they just kick our ass. All of a sudden, then we can't tackle Trey Burton, and Jeff Driscoll's running around, and we got our ass beat. We got that goal line stand right before the half. We're like, hey, let's put A.J. Johnson in the Wildcat.
We opened up the second half by like throwing a touchdown to Michael Rivera, right?
Yeah, we went up 20. Yeah, it was 14-13 at half, and then we scored a touchdown, and then we missed the extra point, and then it was all downhill from there.
They scored the final 24 points.
And our only highlight was Derek Dooley catching a pass on the sideline and then spiking it. That was it. And then we just talked about that 2013 game where Peterman were so bad. We got our ass beat. We couldn't handle that Florida team that ended up going 4-8, including a loss to Georgia Southern.
Brother Derek Brodus missed that extra point.
And a 17-point loss to Vanderbilt. And a 19-point loss to Missouri. So, yeah.
Trey Burton outran our defense for 80 yards. That was on the first play!
And he plays tight end.
No.
He plays tight end now.
That was on the first play of that drive.
Yeah.
So it was we were winning 20-13 with like 3.5 minutes left in the third quarter and lost 37-20.
It was a very surreal feeling being there.
Can't wait. We're going to get them this year, though. We're going to get them this year.
Let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch if you want to join. Most of our fantasy football leagues are filled up, but I will create more to make sure all the patrons get to play. I'll create space. We got, I think, 7 spots in a $40 league available. I think we got 2 spots in a $75 league available. That's about it right now. We brought back basketball this week. I've been sore since then, but it's a good sore. And we got a couple new patrons to shout out. Let's start with $5 patron, Sir Lanks-a-Lot. Shout out to Sir Lanks-a-Lot. Came and played basketball with us. Very lanky. Very lanky.
Shout out to brother Sir Lanks-a-Lot. We love you and appreciate you.
Welcome to the family. We got, we got Max Trent upped his pledge to $5.
Shout out to brother Max. We love you and appreciate you.
New $5 patron, John Thomas Jarosinski.
Shout out to brother JT Jarosinski.
He joined getting the Fantasy Football League, so welcome to the family. And this is kind of interesting. New $5 patron, Zach Roberts.
Shout out to brother Zachary.
I'm guessing this is a case where the card expired and he just wasn't paying us and then decided he felt guilty. I don't know what is going on there, but that was then. You remember 2 weeks ago when I was like, hey, I had something to say, but I couldn't remember when we were doing this. It was like, hey, we're going to prune the Discord. If you are somebody that's been in the Discord at one time but haven't been back in a couple months, we're going to do another purge coming up soon. Linked up with Patreon. So just giving you guys a heads up, we're going to do that in a couple weeks before football season. So make sure you're logged in, checked in, affairs in order and everything if you are interested in staying in there. And then my man, Stephen Weeks, upped his pledge from $10 to $20.
Shout out to brother Stephen. We do love Stephen, and we appreciate him very much.
Tighten up, Stephen. Let's tighten up, baby. Stephen knows I love him. Let's get to some questions. I guess a good place to start would be OG Matt's question, since we're transitioning out of Tennessee football. He asked, we're all slaves to the content. What would be the best, funniest outcome for Tennessee's football season? Did my fucking internet go out?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. What do you think the best outcome, the funniest outcome
I'm thinking like 2-10, 1-11. Or it's either that or them just like, Tennessee is going to be dog shit, but them being 6-1 going into Alabama would be pretty funny. It would be funny if they like somehow won on some fluke game against Missouri in Columbia. That would be pretty funny.
It would be hilarious. To me, the funniest, again, not funny for us, but like in a funny of like, hey, we're jokerfied. We are just who we are. This is Tennessee. It's so Tennessee. You get all the tweets on the timeline. Oh, only this could happen to Tennessee. So Tennessee. I think it's we whip Bowling Green's ass, beat Pittsburgh's ass, beat whoever it is we play, Tennessee Tech. We're riding high. We actually get in the top 25 because we look really good. We're like number 21 or so. Florida looks shitty. And then the morning of the Florida game, the NCAA hands down our sanctions, and we have a 2-year bowl ban and lose 6 scholarships. And Hendon Hooker, who is starting quarterback and good, got paid by Jeremy Pruitt to come here, and he's ineligible.
So it's going to be really, really maddening when we get, like, some real sanctions. Because, like, nothing's happened to LSU yet all these years later, and Baylor just got let off the hook today.
I will say Baylor seems different. Baylor was – I don't know how much you read about it or whatever – but basically for Baylor, the incident was like, yeah, this is really fucked up, but I guess technically it's not a NCAA violation because much like how North Carolina couldn't get in trouble for having fake classes, we couldn't punish North Carolina because, you know, they gave the fake classes to regular students too.
Yeah.
So Baylor wasn't just looking the other way for athletes raping and sexually assaulting women. They were letting all students do that at Baylor, so they weren't getting preferential treatment. That's just how Baylor got down. Not a rule.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fucked up when you say it. I mean, it's really fucked up. Not pretty fucked up. It's really fucked up. That Baylor's just like, yeah, we didn't really help anybody in these cases. It wasn't just athletes. We weren't looking the other way for Sean Oakman, the meme man. We weren't just doing that. It was, we didn't care about it for anybody.
It's still going to be really maddening if we get hit with something.
Oh, I know. That's why that's the funniest outcome. We look good. Hypo's offense is clicking. Hendon Hooker's balling. And the next thing you know, boom, he got a McDonald's bag and he's ineligible. And the team is just dejected and we get our ass beat by Florida. Runner up as we go like 9-3.
9-3 would be pretty damn funny.
And we talk a lot of shit to everybody and then we go like 6-6 the next year.
9-3 would be pretty funny. Yeah, I think that. I think being 6-1 going into Alabama is hilarious. Like, just the thought of it, the thought that it's possible, it's not going to happen, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, 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 we know. But the thought, it could happen. The schedule is that easy.
It's the easiest schedule we're ever going to have.
And it's still not as easy as Georgia's. That's the crazy thing.
I will say at least Georgia's playing Clemson. But yes, the SEC schedule for Georgia is laughable, but at least they're playing Clemson. We play Pittsburgh, bro.
They're playing Clemson, and their third hardest game is UAB.
I don't disagree. Georgia should walk to the playoff.
I mean, like, Pittsburgh, like, that's not that bad for a non-conference game. It's better than what Florida did for 2 decades.
Oh, look, I'm not caping for Florida or Georgia. I'm just simply saying this is the easiest schedule Tennessee will ever have, and you are correct. It is not as easy as Georgia's because Georgia plays Auburn and Tennessee plays Alabama.
So I was just stunned when Gunkel posted that about Georgia's schedule and I had to go and look at it and I was just like, holy shit, he's not kidding. Their schedule is that easy.
Do you have it pulled up?
It's okay. They Clemson in Charlotte, UAB at home, South Carolina at home, at Vandy, Arkansas at home, at Auburn, Kentucky at home, Florida in Jacksonville, Missouri at home, at UT, Charleston Southern, Georgia Tech in Atlanta. So I guess probably Auburn is their third hardest game. But, like, Auburn's not supposed to be very good. I mean, it's basically just Clemson and Florida. And it would be an absolute travesty if Georgia lost any other game, any game besides those two.
It is so bad that I'm not even mad at Seth for blowing our eardrums out right now because he's fired up at how easy Georgia has it right now.
My bad.
At Auburn, who sucks? I mean, what do we make of Florida? I mean, Florida came in 11th in the preseason, the coaches poll. Like, are they going to be... Is this like when it starts coming, like, Dan Mullen's lack of recruiting catches up to him?
Yeah, I could see that this year. I think that... You could see that, but I also think you will see that no matter what he puts out on the field, they will be extremely well coached and probably, like, they will max out their potential. I feel like it's a pretty safe bet with him. So, like, yeah, I mean, like, I don't expect Emory Jones to win the SEC East, you know, or whatever. I don't expect him to be, like, that great, but, I mean, I probably, like, 10th to 15th. Ranked somewhere in there. I mean, they're going to be as good as they probably can be with him. And I wouldn't be surprised if, honestly, I probably wouldn't be surprised if they're better than people think because he's a really good coach. He just can't recruit for some reason.
It is strange that he can't recruit, but.
You know, really, the only game to me that has been a huge letdown since he's been there is that LSU game that they inexplicably lost. Last year,
we had Marco Wilson throwing the ball.
Yeah, he threw the shoe, and they couldn't stop Brad Johnson's son running around out there.
And then the LSU kicker, he did kick the shit out of that 50-yard field goal in the fog.
He kicked the hell out of it, you know. And then the next week, Alabama turns around and really plays Alabama well, better than either of the semifinal games Alabama had. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Either of the playoff games Alabama had. So I feel like they'll max out their potential, probably go like 10-2. And then I think that their fans will start getting really annoyed and, you know, they're not going to sit around and they're not cool with, you know, 9-3, 10-2 kind of seasons. They have Alabama at home, they go to LSU, they have Georgia, and then they have Florida State at home. So I guess 9-3, 10-2.
Okay.
I don't know how good LSU is going to be. I saw they were ranked pretty high, too.
Yeah, then they lost, what's his name, their quarterback.
Miles Brennan is out.
Yeah, he's out. They're down to Max Johnson, which is apparently Brad Johnson's kid.
Yes.
But he's not very good. So everyone else is supposed to be really good. Like, they brought back basically all their entire offensive and defensive line.
Yeah.
They still got Stingley.
And they brought in a new offensive coordinator.
I just don't know if it's like... I don't think they're going to be a, I mean, obviously they're not going to be as good as they were 2 years ago when they went undefeated and won a national championship. But I just don't – I don't know if these players like Orgeron after last year. I think we all have forgotten how bad he was last year.
Yeah.
How badly he mismanaged all the Black Lives Matter stuff. Like, his players hated him last year. Like, they marched to the, like, AD or the president, like, demanding a meeting with him. And I wonder if that snaps back out of it in 1 year. Like, I still think – there's a decent chance Orgeron gets fired this year or steps down.
Oh, I feel like that is always a safe bet as long as he's the head coach, because I feel like with him, it can go off the rails in an instant. You know, so. I mean, I think Max Johnson is going to be, I don't think he's that bad. Like, I mean, I would love to have a guy who played like he did at the end of the year coming back as quarterback.
Sure.
You know, the last...
But I mean, like, it looked like Brennan was going to be the starter, though, right?
Yeah, because Brennan's numbers were absurd last year. People forget because they lost those games and their defense was so bad. But, like, in three games, Brennan threw for, like, over 1,100 yards. So Brennan was really good, and then he got hurt, and then he got hurt again this year, and they Max Johnson wasn't playing because of TJ Finley, and they finally put in Johnson. And against Florida and Ole Miss, I mean, he was good both of those games. He had 300 total yards against Florida and almost 500 total yards against Ole Miss. They still have Orgeron. Like, they still have Orgeron, so I don't know. I think Florida is probably going to be better than LSU.
All right, next question. This is back where you have to start asking the questions.
What is hotter, Seth's chili or the fire that nearly burned down his parents' house?
Who asked that question? You have to ask tell who asked the question.
Brother CB, a.k.a. Colts beat reporter. I assume he's happy today. It's Carson Wentz has... I know he's a Titans fan. Never mind. But shout out to Carson Wentz.
He is our Colts beat reporter in the Discord. That is true.
Shout out to Carson Wentz for somehow being fully healed and being the week one starter. I guess the quarterback race in Indianapolis was so grave that they told Carson he has to play with one foot no matter what.
Here's what I'll say, Seth and CB, Colts beat reporter. I was more afraid of Sam Ehlinger than I am Carson Wentz. I didn't know if maybe Sam Ehlinger had been, you know, really mishandled by Tom Herman. If maybe he got there, had some Tebow magic or had some, like, you know, good young Tony Romo magic. I was more afraid of Sam Ehlinger than I am Carson Wentz. I'm glad Carson Wentz is back. Plus, Colts fans won't be able to have any excuses. But what he asked was hotter, your chili or what?
The fire that nearly burned my parents' house down.
The fire's hotter. We don't make fun about the fire that almost took Seth's land down. Stop it, CB.
Have some class, man.
All for a cheap laugh. Sad.
Brother Brizzy, a.k.a. CryptoVol, what happens first? Josh Heupel names QB1, new Reed's Ranch t-shirt.
Okay, first of all, I don't know. I can hear you laughing through the microphone. I have tried to get the shirt rolling. I was told, and I quote, there is a shirt shortage right now. It's hard to get plain shirts to make new shirts. Finding the shirts is the challenge these days, my dude. But shoot me an email and we'll do what we can. I'm working the best I can. I'm trying the best I can, guys. With that being said, I'm going to go probably quarterback one here. But please note, when I do get shirts made, Brizzy's still not getting one for less than $130. Where's Bitcoin at these days? Bitcoin price, where's it at right now? 46,000, the price has gone up. The price of the brick has gone up, my friend. Your shirt is now $145, Brizzy. God damn, Bitcoin's all the way back up to 46,000. Did I ever tell you about the time that gambling website offered to pay me in Bitcoin back in like 2013?
I think so, yeah.
It was like less than a dollar at the time. And I was trying to get a check for $5,000. Like, hey, can we just pay in Bitcoin? I was like, what the fuck is Bitcoin? No. You don't need to do the math on that, Seth, but $5,000 at less than a dollar. Let's just say I kept, you know, $1,000 in there, took $4,000 out. Could have been rich. Could have been rich.
Brother West Tennessee Ben?
Unlucky. Unlucky for me.
So it appears Josh Heupel appreciates desserts.
I think that's a comment that he is fat.
Favorite and worst dessert for each of you. Favorite dessert, I'm going to go with pecan pie.
Oh my God.
For worst dessert, there's not really a dessert that I dislike.
Pecan pie. Pecan pie is the worst dessert.
Not really a dessert that I dislike. I ate so much chocolate pie from my grandmother growing up that when I got older, I couldn't touch it anymore. So I'll go with chocolate pie.
All pies are the worst. I'd imagine pumpkin's probably the absolute worst, if I was guessing on dessert.
I don't like pumpkin pie either.
Maybe apple pie. I don't know. The best dessert for me is a really warm, delicious brownie with a nice scoop of vanilla ice cream on top of it. How good is that?
It's good.
You really can't beat it. That's the best dessert. Good, great question by West Tennessee Ben.
Brother Wheezy, a.k.a. Marwan, a.k.a. the Palestinian Playboy. You have any plans this fall to distract yourself from Tennessee football? Yes, this Discord.
It's living life, bro. I mean, I'm still going to keep up with it. It's my job.
But, we're way far past the point where, Tennessee football affects my mood.
Oh, we're way past that.
So.
At what point did that die for you?
I don't even know. I was surprised last year when I got really mad after the Auburn game.
Okay, I did not get 1% mad about the Auburn game, I don't
think. And it was very random because nothing else made me mad.
Which, I mean, you're an Alabama guy, and you can probably listen to, losing to the Crimson Tide, but losing to Auburn probably is tougher.
It is. The year before, I never really got mad. It's been a long time.
I got pretty mad at Georgia State.
That made me sad. I was sad for a little while.
It affected our mood, needless to say. That was sad. I really think that my last part of caring ended when we got beat on the quasi Hail Mary by Felipe Franks. That was the end for me.
That was brutal.
But I did get mad about Georgia State, but it was really just an embarrassment. How dare they lose to this team? Because next week I bet on BYU and was rooting against us.
Yep.
But no, I don't have any other plans. I mean, the Titans, I guess, would be my plan to distract me from Tennessee football. I'm good. We had a question similar to that about switching allegiances. Who asked that? That was our...
Brother Brett.
That was Brother Brett. Again, congrats to him and his fiance, both a great-looking couple. He asked about what would it take for us to switch our alliance or our allegiances. There's no other college team I would root for because I don't like college football enough.
Yeah, I'm not going to root for that team.
The answer would be, is there something that would make me, quit watching? I mean, we're close to it, but I'm still going to watch, but I don't get mad. But no, there's nothing that can make me root for another team. I don't care about college football enough. College football kind of sucks. I've been saying that for 5 years. And finally, people have kind of caught up to it and all kind of agree that the NFL is much better. Seth Hughes might be the only person still holding out that the NFL is
The quality of the NFL is better.
Yeah, but you're still one of the only people that left.
Well, I'm not. I have too much self-respect to pretend to be a Titans fan. To pretend to care about what a team does that has three different shades of blue and then red and gray as their colors.
Don't make this a Titans thing. You said all NFL fans. No, don't make it a Titans fan.
I have too much self-respect.
Don't make it a Titans fan thing.
The quality of the NFL is much better. What I would really like the NFL to do is to make the Monday night game worth the shit.
Well, they are. ESPN gave them a lot of money, so the Monday night game will be better moving forward.
Because they can flex it now, right, or whatever.
I think that's coming up in a couple years, but basically ESPN is no longer in the NFL's doghouse. They will get better games now.
I watch a lot of the NFL. I enjoy the NFL. I just don't care about it as much as I care about UT football, but I would never root for another team.
Okay. Next question.
Brother Mason Taylor, who is a card carrying member of the United States Armed Forces. Thank you for your service.
USA. USA. USA.
For Seth and John, do you think my Wolves have a chance to finish top four in the table this year? I assume he's talking about Wolverhampton?
He is.
Are they in the Premier League? Are they in the Championship? Or you
know? They are in the Premier League.
So, no, Mason, why on earth did you pick such a dog shit team? You're already a Tennessee fan.
I will be honest. I watched some Wolverton last year because of Mason and because I believe it's I'm really sorry for blowing this on who was it? Maybe other Mason? We had another Wolverton fan. I'm really sorry for blowing this. Man.
They have a lot of Portuguese players.
We had two Wolverton fans, and I started rooting for them, and I watched them. I was like, hey, this team scored. It's fun. And then I watched like the first three games. They were good. And then I don't know if they got injured or what, but then I started watching, and they were absolutely terrible. And I saw that they finished like near the bottom of the table. So just for that reason alone, I'll say no, they can't finish top four. Maybe fourth. Maybe fourth. Like, I mean, I feel like Liverpool, Man City have like, you know, two of the three spots locked down. Or two of the four spots locked down, excuse me. I would imagine Chelsea will as well. So, like, Arsenal sucks. Man United sucks. Tottenham is god-awful. Ari might not even be there. The real Bryce. Sorry, Bryce. I know. I'm sorry, Bryce. I could picture your Abby. I couldn't picture your name. I'm sorry. The real Bryce is the other Wolverton fan. I'm sorry, Bryce. Yes, Parker, Man United is awful. They're so bad. So they're not finishing top four. So maybe the Wolves could compete with Man United for that top four spot. But like I said, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City seems like three locks. Ari Kane, he seems to be heading somewhere else. So, yeah, sure. I'll give the Wolves a 15% chance, Mason and Bryce. Let's go, Wolves. Ow!
There you go. That concludes our soccer talk.
And that was talking Seth with that was talking soccer with John and Seth.
Question for both of you guys from Brother Wadley, a member of the Milton Militia, aka Austin Price's firstborn son. Question for both of you guys: when Josh wins a national championship, how many players will it take to lift him up in the air? I didn't know what this question was when I started answering it.
Four. Four can get him up. Is it true that Josh has a thyroid problem? Because if he has a thyroid problem, people should quit making fun of him.
I don't know.
I've seen some people say he has a thyroid problem, so I don't know if we should make fun of his weight.
I feel like that's the hot. That's like the go-to for any person that's like...
is chubby, say they have a thyroid problem?
Yeah.
But I have read that if you have a thyroid problem, there's not really much you can do, though.
Correct. So, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't.
I don't know if he does or not. This is what some people in the Discord say, so I haven't verified it, but...
We'll get on the horn with his physician this week.
I would feel mean about making fun of him if he does.
Brother BJ, a.k.a. Paw Paw, do you have any specific things or goals you want to finish by the end of the year? I love you both. Well, Brother BJ, I love you. I love you very much, and I'm blessed to know you. You're a good man. I do not have any goals off the top of my head. I should probably start setting some at the beginning of each year.
I set some for some weightlifting stuff. I think I can get there. I got to get, you know, I'm on pace. Been a good year of getting stronger, Seth. And also, I am signing up for a website that will teach me how to speak Spanish. So I hope to get a lot better at Spanish.
Okay.
Is that Spanish still in? Should I focus on a different language instead? I mean, I know, like, should I do the Chinese? Like, that feels way too hard for me.
I think Spanish would be the most useful.
Okay, then I'm going Spanish. That's what I think. So, yeah, I'm going to try to get better at Spanish over the last 4 months. Other than that... I mean, I hope to have a good football season in terms of, you know, advertising sales and, like, content-wise, but that's the only, like, concrete goal I have, I guess, which isn't even that concrete, just simply get stronger and better at Spanish. I wouldn't mind getting a woman pregnant. I am 31, Seth. It's about time to settle down.
If the world needs more reads.
Preferably a woman like I could tolerate, like not some like, you know, some like body you hate or whatever, not like a knocked up situation where we even have to like feel like you hate each other at first, and then you're trying to, like, you know, we're too quirky for each other, and then eventually you find some, like, common ground. Like, hopefully not that, but, you know, wouldn't mind having a baby in the next year. It's because I'm getting old, you know what I mean?
Imagine how good the baby shower, the Discord baby shower is going to be.
I almost feel like I have to get somebody pregnant just for the content, honestly, at this point.
Well, let's not do that.
For the baby shower, for the well, you know, yeah, you're right. Don't do that. Let's.
But if you were to become a father, the Discord baby shower would be absolutely tremendous.
It is kind of making me want to do it.
It would be so much fun. My mom is going to make your baby so many quilts and shirts and stuff.
Let's just tell your mom I'm having a baby because I have some new quilts. Like, just get her to make me some quilts. Let's pretend like it's for a baby, but just actually for me.
Ugh.
Let's see. Anything else? G-Man had a question about movies that changed your life. Did any movies change your life?
Not that I can think of.
No movies changed your life, huh?
I don't think so. I really liked seeing that The Dark Knight in theaters. I really liked that. I went and saw it again the next night.
I think everyone went to see that. I went to see that movie twice in theaters as well. I think that's pretty common. But how would it change your life?
It didn't, really. It didn't. I just thought it was cool.
When I was younger, I mean, most of these will probably be from when I'm younger because, like, you're more impressionable, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how many I would say changed my life as an adult. Little Giants made me, like, realize the Cowboys sucked. Like, everyone was a Cowboys fan in the mid-90s. You know, I was, like, 5 years old, 6 years old, and that movie properly painted them as villains, so I started hating the Cowboys. Luckily, the Titans were coming to town, / the Oilers, I guess. Heavyweights. Need I say more? I mean, without the movie Heavyweights, probably would have gotten probably 40 or 50 pounds heavier. So that kind of made me at least a little more conscious of, like, hey, yeah, it's okay to be a little chubby, but, like, let's not get too fat, like Goldberg and the other fat kid that eats all the cake from Matilda in that movie. Like, let's not be like him. Look, we can't get much past Gerald. Gerald was about the max you could be. That one probably helped. We've talked about American Pie. Shannon Elizabeth in American Pie. That changed my life. A sexual awakening there. I will say one movie also that comes to mind, Seth, is Full Metal Jacket. You ever seen Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah, I have.
Full Metal Jacket taught me in the first act that you need to be careful the way you talk to people. Better be careful the way you talk to people, if you know what I mean. Spoiler alert.
I will say that the opening monologue of Sling Blade, when Billy Bob Thornton is explaining how he gutted Jesse and his mother, that had a huge impression on me, and I still, to this day, last week, I sat down, I was on the couch of my parents' house, and I made Allie, my youngest sister, watch the monologue, because it is powerful, powerful acting. If I recall correctly, Billy Bob came up with the idea for the movie, the book, while he was shaving, and he looked in the mirror one morning. So the opening monologue to Sling Blade, and just Sling Blade in general, a tremendous film that it has made an impression on me over the course of my life.
What'd you kill Jesse for? What'd you kill Jesse for?
Oh, the way he pronounces four is just so good. Fur. Like it's a tree.
The fuck you doing? What you doing that? What you doing with that lawnmower blade? I'm to kill you with it. How do I call the police? Well, you go over there and you hit 911. And you better tell them to bring a hearse. All right. I guess that did change my life, too. That did lead to me going to see Billy Bob Thornton on a random Wednesday night at the Cotton Eye Joe. One of the low points of my life. So I will say that has had an effect on me as well.
A tremendous film. It's just a tremendous, tremendous film.
You ought not talk like that. You're just a boy. That's like really the only impression I feel confident in, honestly.
God, it's such a good movie.
That's all I could think about when I saw Dwight Yoakam in Montana at Under the Big Sky. It was just him being Dool Hargraves.
Yep. Well, he's a good actor.
We ain't no goddamn band. We don't need to fucking practice, Randy. We don't need no shit-ass manager telling us what to do, neither.
He shoves that person in the wheelchair into the door.
One of the best movie scenes of all time. He just pushes him in the door and he just rams right into it. Oh, what a great movie. Anything else?
Happy birthday to Jay Skizzle's young son. He's 13 now. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Prince Skizzle. 13. 13's a big day. You feel like a grown man at 13, even though you're not, but you feel like you're there. You know what I mean?
I do.
Shout out to Patrick. We love Patrick. Happy 13th birthday, Patrick. Let's see. Cody asked if aliens exist. I mean, I don't know, bro. Seth, do you believe in aliens?
I don't know if I do or not. I go back and forth on it, but I think that this recent push by the Pentagon showing this alien, this UFO footage and such, is just a ploy to get more money for the Pentagon.
That seems like a good conspiracy corner.
That's what I think.
That seems to make a lot of sense.
That is entirely what I think. I don't think the videos show a damn thing. I think it is just a ploy for them to get more money.
Spencer96, who sent us some great designs for t-shirts that I have, you know, sent over. We're working on it, Spencer. I haven't forgotten about the great graphics you sent me. What's something you could do today that you weren't capable of a year ago?
I can now go more than 24 hours without taking a shower.
Okay, Mila Kunis.
I used to have a shower once a day. COVID has rid me of that. However, I'm not as bad as Techball, who once, at the beginning of COVID last year, posted in the Discord that he went 5 days without taking a shower. And I still remember that.
An unnecessary strain of poor Techball.
I love Techball.
Spencer96, my answer would be foresee a scenario where I am ever happy again.
Okay. Boomer says he understands. He showers so much less now that he works from home 80% of the time. Exactly, Boomer. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I mean.
Last question from Harambe42069, who came in the top three of the of our new talent at the Redrance Basketball League. Harambe was in the top three of new talent. He was number three, a distant number three, behind brother Sir Lancelot and Sanderson, but Harambe42069 was number three. He asked, Seth, what is your go-to dance move? He's got a wedding this weekend and needs to add to his repertoire. Do you have a go-to dance move?
I don't dance, Harambe42069.
You don't dance, you boogie?
I don't dance. I don't get out on the dance floor. It's just not. Some people know their limits, and I know mine.
You don't even like do like a little slow dance if you have to?
I could do that if I had to, but that's not really what he's asking for.
Harambe, one of my go-to dance moves is, all right, let's see if I can describe it properly. Kind of like arms fully extended down by your waist and just kind of, you know, you keep those at distance with some handshaking and you throw your shoulders into it. You got to stay on beat. That's the most important thing. Just stick with your shoulders and your hands doing a lot of the work for you. Step back and forth, a little two-step, if you will. Don't get too wild with the hips, Harambe. Don't get too wild with the hips. Let the arms and the shoulder do all the dancing for you. Do a little lean back, a little bounce a little bit. That's all you need. Stay on beat. That's all it's about. Look like you're having fun. That's all dancing is, man. Have fun. Have fun. You don't want women to see you out there, Harambe, and think, wow, Harambe42069 is bad at sex. That's really the only goal you have when you're dancing, okay? Don't look like you're bad at sex, Harambe42069. Just look like you know how to keep a rhythm. That's it. I don't know how important staying on beat is. Just have a rhythm. Have a rhythm. Don't turn women off. Or men, Harambe42069. That's it. That's the best advice I got for you. Seth, I love you. I will talk to you not next week, but the week after. Enjoy Hawaii. Wow, must be nice. Must be nice. Patreon.com/Reed's Ranch if you want to keep funding Seth's Hawaii trips.
Thank you, my brother. I'll think about you down there, and I'll talk to you and send you pictures. And
send my best to your family. I love you as well.
I love you. Goodbye, buddy.
See ya.
Yo, I'm in rare form. Niggas speak down on my name like I wasn't there for them. Talk about back in the days. This isn't back in the days. Get with me back in my ways. Should do for the fade. Musically, I'm on Mars. Walking all over the beat, putting my feet on the stars. I rock it like Lenny, thinking like Jimmy the first time he seen a guitar. Standing in front of where they shot about us, and we gotta know who we are. I'm in rare form. Wearing rare Jordan, straight from Air Jordan, this a fair warning. Too many young guards, beef over nothing. When you get money, you know that it's coming. Saying they homies, but they ain't a hundred. We the most hunted. I got my Mets hat on to the back. Y'all already know where we going with the stats. Hall of Fame only, kings and queens only. They all be grabbing my style, but you know they can't hold me. Yeah, I'm in rare form. Y'all still on the ground, you know I've been airborne. Studying big, studying Nietzsche. You gotta call on the chopper to reach me. Homie, I don't need a jeweler to freeze me. Ice in my veins, I make it look easy. Mentally, I'm in Queens. More money, more problems, you gotta be ready for all that it brings. Let them say what they say, revenge on my plate, I'm loving the taste. They see you shining, emotions get hard to contain, they just not evolving the same. Me and HB is too rare, I'm moving all through the snares. Sound on billionaire, ain't nothing changed, I'm flipping the page. I'm Prince on the stage, slave on the space, you know what they say. Hated the way, I'm staying rare for all of my days. I'm staying rare for all of my days. Levels of Tarantino, curbing my ego, even though he know. Empty glass of Pinot, cigars in casinos. What they especially praise is the ethos. Stacks on blackjack, moving my chips. No superstition to make me get rich. I'm with this chick, this one I brought today. In between placing my bet, we shop the Cartier. Rose go, I cop the reset. Runway, hop to the jet. Flight attendant, popping my wet. I said I need that dime, all for respect. We having conversations, niggas show me property then. I call my nigga and I told him, yo, I gotta be there. Salmon shish kebab in the misty fog, roll a sticky log. Big dog affair, no kids involved. Round table having war council. Press one button, it'll change the world around you. Too rare, nothing to see here. Cuban over my streetwear. Yet nobody to somebody kills you just to be fair. It's okay to keep the mystique. I learned that in the street. I'm me, solo with deep. I'm putting on for the G's. We've been doing gangster shit for a long time. Look inside my mind, see a gold mine. I'm my own cosign, she texting the old line. You keep staring at the glow, bitch, don't go blind. Braveheart energy, fuck all of the enemies. XO Hennessy is not on me, it's in me. I'm not here to be friendly, they ain't even contending. Comprende? We've been doing gangster shit for a long time. Look inside my mind, see a gold mine. I'm my own cosign, she texting the old line. Comprende? It's up. Hit boy, you on some other shit. We on some other shit. Comprende? Yeah.